Hello, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we have a request. We need you to share these broadcasts. And yes, share it with friends and family, but let's not just be an echo chamber. Make sure that you are getting this out to Democrats. They need to know they're supporting people who are destroying their future as well as their kids' future. Their kids will be enslaved under this system they're installing. So please make sure you share. We've got some very telling sponsors, and they're chosen with intent for this show. Let me explain what I mean. We are going to be following Europe soon, and Doug and I are going to talk about this in just a moment. And it means you're not going to get food. You're going to have problems getting water. And also, too, your accounts are going to be under attack. And if you got our IRAs and 401ks, they're going to soon be gone. The banks are going to take everything. They don't have to collapse entirely for them to keep your stuff. Federal court ruling in 2012 said when you put your stuff in the bank, it's theirs. So anyway, let me process this very quickly. Number one, you need storable food. My Patriot Supply has not raised prices. They have a $250 off special, the 3-month special order. And people say, well, how much should I order, Dave? I have no idea. You need to get as much as you can get, and don't wait for the supermarket, because here's why not. 6 months of food's all you're going to get, okay? Number two, I mean, in terms of being shelf-worthy, edible-worthy. Number two, you're not going to get a balanced diet. With MPS, you'll get exactly what I just said. You'll get 25-year shelf life. You're going to get diversity in the food, and it's balanced meals. And it's high in calories. And you're eating for survival. That's why you want it that way. 2,000 calories per day. Per day. Now, go to preparewithdave.com while you still can. The railroad strike has happened. It's in the process of laying out. I said that the workers had not signed on, and people want to criticize me. Oh, Dave, they signed the agreement. Biden signed the agreement with the ancillary people to quiet things down before the midterm, and they're doing everything they can do to stop this strike from going full effect before the election. But the workers have rejected there's going to be a strike, and 62% of all food is transferred by rail. So preparewithdave.com. Now, grid down scenario, Doug's talked a lot about that, and he's right. But also, blackouts, if they go on very long, you're not getting water. You have to scavenge. You better have the best water filtration there is. That's what the Alexa Pure Pro water filter is, same manufacturer as MPS. And listen to me, they've not raised prices. They have a special. And they published their research that shows they're number one for water filtration and water safety. So what do? You go to waterwithdave.com. So preparewithdave.com, waterwithdave.com. And then finally, how do you protect your assets? Well, Noble Gold has a dual approach now. And we're closing a deal tomorrow on the silver. I'll talk about that in a minute. But very quickly, Noble Gold can diversify you to the point where when things go south, you're not going to totally take a bath. The one thing they do I really like above many of their programs is they will convert your soon-to-be worthless IRA and 401k into gold-backed. That means it takes control away from your bank. They can't keep it. You get to keep it. And gold has held its value for 6,000 years. So how hard is it to do? It's easy. Easy, easy, easy. I've done it. You should do it. And they give you a free 3-ounce silver coin just for saying thank you for a qualifying offer. I do have to say this. Past earnings are not a reflection of future earnings, and all investments carry an inherent risk. Okay, if I had to say that, and for you to really understand that, then you just need to go buy food. Okay, seriously, you're not ready to invest yet, but the vast majority of you understand that. Now, one more thing, silver. Silver is the commodity, it's the mineral of the New Green Deal. It's right there. It's going to explode. Silver is being underproduced already. The price has been suppressed. That ain't going to go on much longer. This is a great way to step in and really have a great opportunity to outrun inflation by a mile. So how do you get a hold of Noble Gold? 877-646-5347. 877-646-5347. You notice everything that we are marketing here is tied to our survival. And that's with intent absolute intent. And I hope that you have the ability and the means and the intelligence to take protective measures. Well, this is a part two follow-up of the Doug and Dave Intel Report, where I had combat veteran, former military contractor, former DHS agent, Doug Thornton, my broadcast partner in the Doug and Dave Intel Report, come on and give very graphic descriptions about what combat's like. And we better look at what combat is like, because Brazil's going to fall to the communists, and that's the last obstacle to a huge Red Dawn army. When we engage Russia and China, we can expect to be attacked on our southern border. And I wanted Doug to talk about combat, what it's like. Tonight, what we're going to talk about for the bulk of our program, we got a few introductory things we need to talk about first on the news side, but we're going to talk about when the Chinese and Russians come to your village, town, city, neighborhood, what are your options? What should you do? And you're going to get it from a person who has seen lots of combat. I haven't seen combat, except I've been fighting against Democrats for years, but it ain't the same thing. So I don't pretend to have any expertise. My martial arts training is not even analogous to being in combat, so I won't even try. But we have an expert. That's the Doug side of the Doug and Dave Intel Report. Doug, welcome to the show, but I want to do a couple of news items before we launch into our topic here. I think the biggest news, there's two major news items, and I'm going to get your reaction to these. Let me just lay both out and I'll let you go with it. Turkey has announced, member of NATO, nuclear weapons, Turkey. Erdogan said, well, they want us to take away all gas and all natural gas and oil and everything, but they're not giving us anything to replace it with. So he announced an oil deal with Russia that Turkey will be a repository distributor of Russian oil. Hello, break up a NATO, possibly. The second item that I want Doug to respond to is I've been sent pictures out of Germany, empty shelves, and guess what? There's now photos on Breitbart where the supermarkets are empty in Germany. And I've been told, don't know this for sure, but I've been told that this is spreading through Europe. We're looking at the European collapse, the collapse of NATO. Doug, what's your reaction to these two pieces of news?
Well, for one thing, I'm actually surprised that Turkey hasn't gone over to Russia's side sooner. I think all the headway that we thought we have made by sending our military assets over to Ukraine would have pushed Turkey actually into the embracing arms of Putin much faster. But it seemed like there for a minute Turkey was trying to remain neutral. And you could tell, Dave, they were trying to remain neutral to save face with Russia. Turkey's a NATO ally. It is the second biggest military in NATO, and it's a nuclear-armed ally. So if we lose Turkey, Russia gains more troops, more nukes. I hope the Pentagon is thinking of it like that. Russia being a repository now for oil, well, you know what that's going to happen? What's now going to happen is Turkey is going to probably end up intervening somehow on behalf of Russia and pushing that oil into Syria and then connecting over into Iran and so on and so forth. You remember the pipeline project?
Yeah.
Whenever Hillary said, you know, if I become president, there won't be a Russian MiG in the sky. I'll blow them out of the sky, you know, the second day I'm a president. That is one of the things that actually sparked a lot of this. However, remember this, Dave. Saudi Arabia and Syria were going at it for a bit because of this pipeline, which also affects Israel and Iraq. It affects the entire Middle East. And I will say this, in a lot of ways, what you're talking about are the alliances of Gog and Magog. That is the biblical reference of the alliance of Gog and Magog. So good job, Joe Biden, in pushing us into this direction so quickly. The other part, you know, I think we need to keep our eyes focused on Turkey for a couple different things. if Turkey becomes completely neutral in this combative situation with Ukraine, they have chosen the side of Russia. Would you agree to that? I mean, that's kind of my mindset.
I think it's already a done deal.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, who else is Joe Biden pissed off yet? You know, he's pissed off Saudi Arabia.
It's his mission to isolate and destroy America.
Well, get this. If we were getting oil from OPEC, and now we're not, and the Sauds are going to align with who's going to buy their oil, and it's going to be Russia and China. It's not going to be us. Then we just lost another ally. I said this many years ago, Dave, and I think you remember me saying this. We always talk about, you know, civil war in America and how World War III would happen and how you would take down America.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I used to always give you the example of what would happen to a nuclear-armed Russia that went through a civil war. How long would the world sit by and wait while it deteriorates and people don't know who has access to now thermonuclear weapons and the dead hand switch?
Mm-hmm.
Well, America is in the exact same paradigm here. The exact same. What would the world do with an old senile idiot running the country to the ground, making us lose all of our allies that are actually military combative capable? And now we're losing our industry. I mean, you know, at what point in time do people say, America, we don't need to listen to you? The dollar doesn't rule the world. Your military is in a weakened status now. You have an inept, corrupt president. Your Congress is completely so screwed up, it wants to arrest its own members. America, you have become Rome, and you're imploding. If anything, Dave, I mean, they might as well just sit back and watch us all, you know, try to destroy ourselves. But I think there could be the chance of a Hail Mary where you could see the West trying to sanction Saudi Arabia and maybe even Turkey. And I think those sanctions within themselves would then solidify us losing those allies. And, you know, if we lose Saudi Arabia as an ally, who else has Saudi Arabia as an ally? Well, England does. The UK does. Canada does. Well, what about Australia and New Zealand? Well, they do. So how could we lose one of our own best friends and not have all these other countries look at us and go, hey, we're not in the same boat as USA. You know, don't nuke us as well. You know, but that's the way I follow the politics right now. It's schoolyard bullying, and it's about to go really, really wrong.
Yeah, but we're not going to have a president try to self-correct. He's going to facilitate the demise of America because he's being held hostage and blackmailed by Ukraine and China at the same time.
Yeah, it's perfect what's happening. They picked the perfect guy for the fall guy. They really did. And maybe that's why Kamala Harris was also picked as a vice president, yeah, because she's a lame duck.
She was running last in the primary, spent the most money and ran last.
Lame duck, spineless, a complete idiot, and no one listens to her. No one cares about her.
I know.
No one cares. Do you know the historical precedents that this is the first female vice president we've ever had? Oh, by the way, it's a person of color. Nobody cares. Like, where's all the, you know, you remember how they freaking paraded Obama around everywhere? What about Kamala Harris? Nobody cares. And that should tell you something. That should tell you right away that the elite don't care either. This isn't about racial politics anymore. This is trying to maintain world domination. And our side is losing. Right? We, the American citizens, are going to be unfortunately caught up in the, how would you say that, the Illuminati, you know, internal fighting, the New World Order's internal fighting for each other. That's where I think we're at right now.
Well, I couldn't disagree with anything you just said. And what it adds up to is the correct stooges were picked. I mean, Kamala Harris's only claim to fame is when she was the Alameda District Prosecutor in California. She protected, and from public record, she protected child sex traffickers out of the Catholic Church there. And that's what her most notable accomplishment was, other than being heels in the air Harris, and that's how she's always arrived at her next position. No pun intended. This is a family show, but she is who she is, and there's no sense in denying it. I'm going to give you the third factor in this too. They brought in Clueless Joe because they knew he could never wake up and have a moment of conscience. Oh, what about my legacy? Oh, I may have dementia, but I know what legacy means. Well, he can never do that now because he's blackmailed. I mean, he's into the Chinese for, by my count, about $50 million.
Yeah, I think that's a good estimate.
And then Hunter, probably about 400 million, with Joe's tacit help and approval using his official position as vice president. But there's a third factor in this too, besides Kamala and Joe, and it happens to be Tulsi Gabbard. Now, people, don't be swayed by her beauty. She's beautiful. She's well spoken. She's smart. She thinks on her feet. And wow, would she be a great ally? But she's for partial birth abortion. She was for gun confiscation, even despite being in the military, or the National Guard, I should say, the reserves. But she is someone who is not sincere. She was trained by Klaus Schwab of the World Economic Forum. You heard me correctly. Klaus Schwab, World Economic Forum, same program that trained Macron and same Trudeau. She was there. Now, why would all of a sudden she quit the Democrats but not align with the Republicans? And she's playing the game well. She's coming to Arizona to campaign for Carrie Lake and Blake Masters. Okay, I'm actually glad she's doing that. But listen, folks, if she was sincere, she'd become a Republican immediately. She's not. She's going independent, and let me explain why. It's called the 1912 election. When Roosevelt decided to come out of retirement and run for what would have been his second term, his successor, Vice President Taft, says, "I'm not stepping aside." And Taft won the primary, and Roosevelt started the Bull Moose Independent Party. They split the Republican vote, predictable, and this slime ball, Woodrow Wilson. Up until Obama and Biden, the worst president in American history, he gave us the Federal Reserve, the graduated income tax, lied us into World War I, blah, 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 blah. Okay, that's the splitting of the vote. That is, in my opinion, Tulsi Gabbard's mission here, is she's going to run in 2024 as an independent. Well, Dave, she might only get 8 to 10% of the vote. That might be all it takes to keep the Democrats in power. And then how does she get rewarded? Oh, maybe a cabinet position. Do not be taken in by her. She is a Trojan horse.
Well, and to me, it's also like, who else is going to be there to run? That's going to make a difference against Donald Trump. I don't think Tulsi Gabbard will, but I think what they're going to do is they're going to say that this election was so closely contested that Tulsi stole away some of the votes. But also, I think the entire election is going to be stolen. If I said that on YouTube, I would finally get canceled. But this is where we're at right now. I've said this before, I'll say it again. We're on a precipice of a civil war. I don't care what expert is out there and who agrees and who doesn't. It's my damn opinion that we are on the precipice of a civil war. I've been all throughout this country, in various different forms of operations. And I have seen the tempo of people since the George Floyd riots really kind of woke me up to where Americans are at. And I think people, I want to say this carefully, I think people are ready for conflict. I don't think people really understand what that means, but I think Americans think that they are ready for conflict. Does that make sense?
I totally make sense, totally. But there's one other element I would add into what you're saying, because I totally agree with what you're saying. But America's been so dumbed down, except for audiences like ours, people that come here and listen, they obviously keep coming back because of the fact that they understand what the heck we're talking about. But most people don't understand how the government works. They don't understand there's two houses, how a bill passes, the role of the Supreme Court, blah, blah, blah. They don't understand this. So rather than getting involved politically for all these decades where they've been dumbed down, they have just let things go and let things go. And now they've reached the point of pissed off, and they don't know how to channel their energy and anger into the political process. So what's your alternative? You reach for the gun. I totally agree. But we could have avoided all this had people not been dumbed down and got active.
Well, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The government is waiting for people to lose their cool, to grab their guns, and to storm a building like January 6th and try and play Rambo for the weekend. Now, there's been plenty of people who have emailed me recently since I started saying that statement. Some people got offended that I called them Rambo, and some said they're not trying to be Rambo, but they do see the legitimacy for wanting to be properly trained for this upcoming event, because I think we all know it's coming. Listen, situation is going to dictate, okay? This is my prayer for the average everyday rifleman, which is the way I believe America should be, Dave. Every man a rifleman, all right? The Marine Corps thought that way. I think it's a pretty good motto for the average American, because every American will be involved in the Civil War. Every American will be involved in World War III. You won't have a choice to sit it out. You will eventually be involved in it, either going underground into shelters and hiding, or having to scavenge through the wastelands, or you're going to be out on top of the fields fighting. You know, that's kind of your only options. And once again, Dave, we have to clarify. We're speaking of hypotheticals, right? You know, we're talking about a theoretical application to war, to combat, especially here in America. And I know as we were talking about this, we said, you know, what would it look like for China or Russia to be invading? What would you be expecting? I think one of the worst examples that's out there is the movie Red Dawn.
I agree.
I think it's a horrific example. It's an entertaining movie. And like most movies, they are entertaining and have almost zero relevance on the combat field. This is just my personal opinion. Don't go and attack tanks. Just my personal opinion. Another personal opinion. If it is the North Koreans and the Chinese and the Russians, and you get captured, your chances of not being tortured are probably really, really low. Your chances of being tortured are probably very, very high. We're talking about societies that have done this and will do this type of stuff, right? So here's the other thing. There needs to be the mindset, the tactical application mindset of the average everyday rifleman, which is only going to come by learning the tactics through training. So I would tell people, if you don't want to get training, you can go to freaking Amazon and you can buy a good old Army or Marine Corps infantryman's handbook, and you can start reading it. You can start watching YouTube videos of how war is fought and the different techniques, the bounding techniques, the up I'm see he sees me, I'm down running technique, which is more or less when you get up from cover, laying down on the ground or being behind cover, you have a little ditty in your head. And the way we would do these rushes, because that's what it is you're rushing towards the enemy. You would say, I'm up, he sees me, I'm down. And typically that lands yourself in kind of like a baseball slide into the ground. And then your buddies are doing the same thing, bounding behind you towards the sounds of gunfire. Because the whole thing that people don't understand is within the infantry, we teach to close with and destroy the enemy. To close with means to run towards the gunfire. All right, this is the same way we try to teach cops, but not every cop is an infantryman. So the mindset gets lost there with a lot of people, and that's nobody's fault. You know, I mean, Not everybody's the same. But if you think you're going to be involved in this war, if you if let's say this, if you plan on having you and your merry bunch of men being involved in this war, you better know tactics, because everyone invading will know standardized military infantrymen tactics, and those basic tactics alone will probably wipe out almost any resistance that doesn't have very much training. Now, there, you know, if you look at the way the Iraqis attacked us, right? The Iraqis didn't have very good tactics, but they developed tactics and procedures by fighting us for so long in Iraq. So, you know, initially we would see them, gun them down, and drive right over the bodies. And that's just the way war was whenever we first invaded Iraq. And then eventually it started to get very, very deadly serious with roadside bombs, or what we call improvised explosive devices, and suicide bombing. They would plant explosives in dead animals. They'd plant explosives in boxes that, you know, we used to call this the kick the can. But, you know, on our long patrols, because you got so used to seeing IEDs, or you got so used to seeing what you thought might be an IED, and you didn't always have EOD, which is the Explosive Ordnance Disposal Teams, within comms. So, you know, if you called EOD to come and get what you think might be a bomb, typically you're expecting a 10-hour response. Well, I'm not going to sit on the side of a road 10 hours. We're either going to shoot at the object, throw something at it, or when you get really, really deep into your deployment and you're salty and you don't care anymore, you play kick the can. So somebody just goes, hey, that looks like an IED. And you walk over there and you kick it. Nope, not an IED. We're good. And everyone just goes, nah, whatever. You know, I mean, that's the other part of combat, is the mindset of getting used to it. With a lot of people, Dave, within the shock and awe of being invaded. Imagine this, Dave. Power has gone out. There may be strategic nuclear bombings of different cities, or different military installations. The Belgorod of Russia could hit us with some of its 74-foot Poseidon torpedoes, launching a 300-foot radiation tidal wave. When this type of destruction goes on, do you know what the average person is going to be doing? Losing their freaking mind. That's what they're going to be doing. They're going to hit every single store, probably with force, and take whatever they can to sustain themselves or their families. Also to include a lot of alcohol, a lot of tobacco, narcotics, and I mean whatever people can grab. Here's a really good example for this. Germany, right? And now they're looting the grocery markets. When you don't have food anymore, and you don't have the delivery of the food anymore, where are you going to get the food? People's houses. So you know what also happens to increase mightily during these types of wars? Home invasion. Crime. All right? A lot of things that people don't want to think about, but crime will increase dramatically. All right? And improvised crime. Any type of crime. All right? People trying to fake that they're hurt. You know, young girls faking that they're alone just so that they can draw you out for whatever team that's there to then take you out and go in your house and take all your stuff, right? Uh-huh. These are tactics that criminals will use. This is the same type of stuff that's actually being documented in Ukraine right now. Did you know that?
Yeah. I'm well aware of that, yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's another thing. You know, people don't consider the fact that you're going to need... This is Doug's best advice for you, is to figure out how to bug in, figure out how to get friends, form strong allegiances and alliances within your area, for things that you can rely upon, that you can go and protect, like, you know, cattle and you know, maybe even a grocery store.
How do you go about doing that? I mean, so I know you got to protect against the, shall we say, the civil unrest and people that don't have resources. How do you go about organizing that?
Well, it's very simple. The same way it has always been done. You have to have runners. You got to have people who are your representatives for what it is that you're trying to do. So let's just take this hypothetical situation, all right? Dave and I are creating a militia after the power has gone out and the FBI isn't afraid of militias anymore. So put down your pencils, feds. This is what you would do, all right? You would go door to door speaking with the men and women, the adults, right? And you would say, hey, at this time, this place, let's meet. We need to talk about these situations and how to defend our community. You defend at that point in time as far as you can walk comfortably to a perimeter and then back to your home. Because a lot of people are not going to go far enough, especially if they have kids, where they think they're now vulnerable and their children are also vulnerable. So that's what I'm saying. A lot of people are going to homestead in their suburbs. The suburbs within themselves are going to look like a fort, and rightly so. That's a strong community. You're going to have to create some sort of a outreach program to try and find out if there's anyone who has tactical training, law enforcement, first responders, doctors, nurses, heck, dentists, people who are veterinarians, you know. It, the inside of a dog isn't much different than the inside of a human. If you know how to do surgery, you're going to be very, very well needed. So you form these alliances and these communities with whoever it is that you have. I live way out in the county, and I know that if, let's say, the magical EMP button was pressed and none of my vehicles turn on, I'm not walking 15 miles in the town every day to go and figure out what's happening. I'm going to have to form my community, and then we'll have to branch out to the next group. And if they haven't formed a community, we'll form one for them until eventually we reach the inside of the town. And then you create a relay system where whoever's closest to the town meetings will then send a runner to the next fort, and then they relay that information to the next fort via handwritten notes, not by word of mouth, because that always gets screwed up. So handwritten notes. That way it's meticulous notes, and you know, you just transcribe them from one paper to another, right? That's a very easy way to do it. But you have to get out there and you have to politic a little bit. Dave, you may actually have to convince your neighbors to pick up their guns and to start doing a community watch at night. You may actually have to convince them. You may have people who say, I'm not helping anybody. I'm sitting in my house, and if anyone comes on my property, you're a dead man. Well, okay. Well, you know, that's a good mindset to have during the apocalypse. But if you don't work together as a community, you will fail eventually. Eventually, you will fail. You will need to eventually go to sleep. And the times of darkness is when most people will take the advantage of crime. And that's also when most military units will take that advantage for their operations. So, you know, you're going to have multiple shifts of security, just like what we did in the military overseas, all right? We had two 12-hour shifts and what we had, what we'd call standing post, okay? So around the perimeter of our forward operating base, you know, we had a series of posts where there was always two guys to a post, not a one man, two. That way, if one nods off, the other one's asleep. And if the other one gets tired, he wakes the other guy up. You go what we call 50-50. But also, two eyes are better than one. If something's happening, you can be shooting. The other guy could be signaling for help or spreading communications to other people. So that's very important. But that's, once again, that is your relay system, right? So you need to be able to set up posts, all right? So you got to identify, most likely, who's going to be the guy who's going to stand the post the best? Is it going to be the guy in the wheelchair, or is it going to be the, you know, the 18-year-old? Who are you going to trust? Is it going to be, you know, the 80-year-old World War, you know, II or Vietnam veteran? Do you want that guy out on patrol? Me personally, no, I don't, because combat is a young man's game. So you got to have a post with reliable grown-ups who know what they're looking at, who can keep calm, keep composure. They can spread the message that something is happening. They're the watchman on the wall, Dave, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
And then you have an internal security, like law enforcement. that keeps control of the crime, because that's never going to go away. And then you'll also have an external security force, or let's say the militia, that would patrol the outside of your fort, your compound, your whatever, your operating base that you have now created with your suburbs, or you know, your community that you live in. That's how you do it. It's very simple. You say, this is my house, and then you draw concentric rings, all right, from my house to, you know, my last neighbor's house. Takes me 10 minutes to walk it. A lot of things can happen in 10 minutes. So that means if the next series of houses is another 10 minutes, then now I'm 20 minutes away from my house if something bad breaks out. Do you know what that means now, Dave? That means now you need to decide, are you going to be on foot, or are you going to get a bicycle? You're going to get a four-wheeler out? You're going to get some sort of mobile transportation so that you can respond to places quicker than just walking or running? You know, a 10-minute walk or a 20-minute walk may turn into a 10-minute run. You're going to be pretty winded by the time you get to a fight. So these are things to consider. It's a lot to plan, man. It's a lot of planning.
Okay, I want to change directions now. I think these are all good things for community defense. But let's talk about the individual for a second, and let's make it specific. The Chinese are coming your way. There's nothing between you and them.
First off, you should have been prepping years ago.
Okay. That's water under the bridge, though. So what do we do from that point?
Yep. Really, it's kind of the same procedures. You need to find alliances. You need to find people that you can depend upon. But if you can't, what you need to do is you need to figure out how far away are the Chinese as they're coming and invading. What type of military force do they have, if possible? And then you probably need to start thinking about evacuating. And evacuating means going the opposite direction of what they're coming. All right. If you're going to flee, okay, if you're not going to hunker down, if you're going to flee, this is when you start to talk about go bags and gear.
Right, exactly. Exactly.
That's having that stuff pre-staged. And I will say this, Dave, and then I'll let you add in on it. If you're going to have a bug-out bag along with all your gear that you're going to carry, all your gun, your ammunition, all your cool guy stuff that you've been buying for all these years, don't forget you need food and you need water. And this stuff is going to be very, very heavy.
Exactly. Here's the thing I would say, though. We've been advertising food and water forever. People just can't even fathom living in a society where it's not going to be available. That's what I've discovered. But the other thing is this. Okay, so you got your food, you got your water. Okay, what about methods of running from the enemy? You get word they're 10, 15 miles away. What do you do? How do you retreat? Is there any strategy that you would employ?
Well, it depends. What's your means of transportation? Is it via foot? Is it a horse? You know, is it a bicycle? Is it a four-wheeler? Is it a tractor that you got up and running? Is it a car that you got up and running? Best case scenario, if it's a car, drive as fast as possible away from the incoming force. Let's take worst case scenario. You have to hoof it, all right, via foot. You need to travel light. You need to take long strides. You need to be drinking water. If you have a map, great. If not, don't get on the highway. Take the back roads. Don't get on the interstate. That's going to be where the fighting is going to be happening, most likely. And remember that these types of forces that are going to be coming, Dave, they're going to have drones.
Yeah, exactly.
They're going to have helicopters. Yeah. They're going to have fast wings. So, you know, your thermal signature during the day or during the night is going to be seen. So, you know, Bob Griswold over at Ready Made Resources, they actually got a type of a poncho liner that has a thermal protective layer over it that could help mask your thermal signature. So that could be something that I would probably have two or three of those. And I would do my best to try and surround myself with that at night whenever I hunker down to try and protect myself from the thermal vision of whatever is above me. But just, you know, remember, and guys, you know, there's no perfect answer here, Dave. There's no perfect answer. Right. You're going to be paranoid. If you're by yourself, good luck. You know, sleep during the day, move at night. That's what I would tell you. But you're going to get probably 30 minutes of sleep here. You'll be up for 5 minutes there, 10 minutes of sleep here. You know, eventually you'll get to how we were when we were in Iraq. Every time we would stop at a house and we would, you know, create a LPOP, a listening post outpost, we would get up in a house and we would have, you know, half the squad sit down and sleep. And when you're patrolling for hours and hours, for weeks and for months, your body gets used to, I'm sitting down, you immediately fall into deep sleep. And I mean like 15 minutes of deep sleep, and it feels like you slept for a couple hours. Your body will get used to that. It's not good for you, but your body will get used to it. Here's the other thing. If you do have a bug out spot, try and be near a good water source. Water is going to be key. You can be as tactically sound as possible. You can be John Rambo, but if you don't have water, you're going to die in 3 days. And water is very heavy. Ounces equal pounds, and pounds equal pain when it comes to humping gear. So, you know, I wouldn't suggest people get the heaviest rifles and shotguns and every single pistol that they own. You know, you need to pick out what is the most efficient. It's the reason why even I only have like maybe 8 guns. And there's only, out of all those 8 guns, most of them are all for hunting, right? I actually have, let me see, the MPX, the MCX, the 7.16, and then my EVO Scorpion. So I have 2 9mm pistol carbines. I have a 5.56 combat rifle, a patrol rifle, and then I have a precision rifle. Now, my precision rifle, fully loaded, is like 14 pounds. And that would suck to walk with. Doesn't sound like a lot until you have it on your back. It becomes extremely uncomfortable. If you wanted to go lighter, like let's say you have a pistol caliber carbine like I do, right? They're fun to shoot. You know, it's a 9mm. Well, think about it like this, Dave. If you have a Glock 17, Glock 19 that also shoots 9mm, well, now you've consolidated to the fact that you only have to worry about one caliber. So between all of your magazines, one source of ammunition, 9mm. So that makes things a little uncomplicated and actually helps to lessen weight. But if you are like me and you don't trust 9mm against body armor, you're going to be carrying at least a 5.56 or a 223. So that's going to get heavy. You know, our combat load was between 6 to 8 magazines when we were in Iraq. During a point of time where we're talking about World War III, prophecies hit the fan, the Chinese are fixing to walk in on my county and wipe us out, I'm carrying as much ammo as possible. Let me give it to you my way. If it was just me and I didn't have to, you know, patrol with my family and my kids, by the way, we could talk about that in a second. But if it was just me, I would carry as much as I physically could fastly. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because if I need to run, I don't need to be jingle jangles with everything in my pockets and stuff hanging off of me. Here's a tip for all you that are out there. If this ever happens, don't put anything in your pockets. That's my very, very big example. If you have cargo pockets, keep them slick. Keep all that crap out of it, because you need at some point to make yourself narrow and small. That stuff's going to get in the way. If you need to slide, and trust me, people don't understand, the baseball slide happens quite a bit in combat. that stuff's going to get in the way. You can actually get injured with all this stuff on you. We discovered that. So if you're going to have anything in your pockets, you know, make sure it's flat. Typically, the only thing that we ever had in our pockets, Dave, was a water bottle. That was it. You know, not a expensive Nalgene bottle, just a cheap, you know, plastic water bottle. But I say stay slick. You know, wear smart clothing. Don't wear stuff that's going to make you slick.
As the enemy is approaching, okay, what could you expect? Will you have to be mobile to worry about air cover, drones that'll attack you, tanks that'll overrun you? What would you expect?
Well, you got a couple different situations here. You can either go gray man and try and blend in with the populace and evacuate.
That's not good. You cannot blend in. These people will execute everybody they come across, don't you think?
No. No, I don't think that. I don't think that because that is a waste of ammunition.
Chinese?
Yes. And hear me out. As Germany was conquering lands, were they annihilating everybody that they came across?
Not until they met resistance. That's true.
So the logistical train drives the military. You don't shoot at people that aren't combatives. And here's the reason why. If you start shooting at every single person, you're going to take a populace that at one point was not trying to be combative with you to now you're going to have to worry about Vietnam and every man a rifleman, every man setting an improvised explosive device or launching a mortar tube at you, right? This is what you have to worry about. And this is one of the reasons why we talk about hearts and minds and three-block warfare and four-block warfare. With three-block warfare, the way we were trained and the way we ran this little operation was on one block, you're going to have all-out fighting. The next block over, it could be a policing mission because now the fighting is contained to this block over here. And then the third block is a humanitarian mission because if they see that we're not raping and pillaging, you know, like the freaking Mongols, then they're going to be able to come to our side to give us intelligence. Because if they give us something, maybe we'll give them food. If they give us something, then maybe we will help out their people and protect them or give them things that they'll need, negotiating goods and materials for intelligence. That's the way a smart military works. A dumb military will roll into town like the cartel and bully everybody and will try and to become a tyrant of a town. And that works for only up until the point that the town turns on you. And then, you know, you don't have enough tanks. You don't have enough guys on the ground to fight a war like that. If, let's say they were coming to Dallas, and one of two things would happen. Either Dallas would capitulate and you would have some resistance fighters, or they came in hardcore and just started to kill everybody. And eventually, everybody in Dallas grabbed a gun and shot against you. Well, in Dallas, there's a couple million people. Most brigades, most regiments, battalions and companies down to the platoons, you don't have that amount of people. So you know what the problem here now lies is that if you have an entire city that is resisting you and they're winning, well, optics means a lot to your allies who are also looking at you in your military operation. So do you fuel air bomb them? Do you hit them with artillery strikes? Do you use chemical and biological warfare? Now you've changed the dynamics of the battlefield. And this is when we should probably talk about this, but this is when it gets really bad. Let's say, you know, especially here in Texas, good luck having a town that's not going to fight against you. Good luck. But let's say they meet so much resistance that the only option is to drop bioweapons. Now, we're talking about a whole new way of life. We're talking about a whole new warfare, Dave. 99% of people in America will not survive a biological warfare. You're not going to, which very well can include yourself and me. And now I keep a reserve amount of gas masks and filters, but you eventually run out of filters, and you know not everybody can fit into a gas mask, especially children. So you know that becomes a very brutal form of warfare when the biologicals are spreading throughout the communities, and then you know only the strongest are surviving. And if that means you're the strongest in your family, your kids have died, your wife has died, or your husband has died, now you have the war not just in the streets, but in the psyche. And this is when people start to really tear themselves apart. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay. What do you think happens when you have warfare going on? You have people that are on antidepressants.
And I should say this. We got about 3 minutes, so, but I do want to hit this.
Okay. You got people on barbiturates, prescription medicines, alcohol. You know, Americans are dependent upon these types of chemical ailments, treatments for their ailments. And that is gone. Add in warfare, add in the death and loss of life. How do you think people will react now to this type of a invasion?
They're going to freak. They're going to panic.
Yeah, they're going to panic. They're either going to capitulate and become enslaved, or they're going to turn upon everybody, or they're going to fight until there's no one left. That's the options. That is the option. That option hasn't been given to Ukraine yet. Introduce biological warfare into what's happening in Ukraine, the entire world will shudder.
Yeah. Are you with me, Doug?
Yeah.
I lost you.
I'm just thinking about what happens when they start dropping VX gas and people start melting in the streets. Listen, man, there's no easy way about this, and I know we're about to run out of time. But this is the best thing that you can do. If this type of stuff ever happens, get your basic preparations now, get your training now, and be praying. Praying is the best thing that you can have, and go where God leads you. That's my best advice.
In this kind of scenario, there's a general rule of thumb, you're better off in the rural areas, but with the scenario we're describing, is it still true you're better off in rural areas?
It depends. Rural areas or thick wilderness. You're better off in thick wilderness. But then you have to try and survive the wilderness. War is hell. There's no easy solution here. But also a Spartan proverb, war is work. It's a lot of work. Be in shape for it. That's all I can say.
When you say be in shape, quickly, what would you tell people to do?
You need to start running tonight. You need to lose as much excess weight tonight. Starting tonight. Put the cigarettes down. Stop drinking. Get in shape. Most people will die trying to run to the fight or away from the fight. That is reality in war. That's why everyone in war, especially in the U.S. military, is in shape so that you don't become a cardiovascular problem during the fight.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we've just touched the surface. There's more questions I wanted to ask because I want to get into guerrilla warfare. We'll cover that in a part 3. But in the time we have left, tell people how they can follow your work on your individual broadcasts.
Well, the American Vindictus Show, .com. You go there, you can see all the different podcast systems that we're on. We're on iHeartRadio, Amazon Audible, Amazon Music Audible. Also YouTube, Rumble, GSRadio.net, Heroes Nation, and TheCommonSenseShow.tv. Make sure you subscribe, like, and share, and send this information out and help support me and Dave.
Yeah, well, we're not going to be on the air much longer.
I
the
know.
JCPA and all that's going on. The first crisis we have, if the Democrats are in control, say goodbye to Doug and Dave, Breitbart, Doug Hagman, everybody else. They will remove us. And we're already seeing state-run propaganda. But, folks, we haven't seen state-run roundups, and that's coming after the election if we lose. Anyway, Doug, thanks for joining.